Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome back, my friends, to Where the Music Never Ends. We're so glad for all your minds that we find, that we find. Good evening, everybody, and welcome to Late Night Poets Rhythm and Rhyme Show. We are part of the world's largest community. That's allpoetry.com, and there you shall find us, the Late Night Poets. We put these radio shows on 7 nights a week, Monday through Sunday, 10 p.m. till midnight. Come hang with our wild Devluia in Nature and Passion on Mondays. Dig into the twisted thoughts of Twisted Tuesdays with the Twisted Sisters. Early Wednesday, take in brevity, 1 p.m., and later that evening, turn up the heat with the Art of Seduction. Thursday, the split between Inner Craft or Selling Art with Richard and Neutron, and Double Helix with a Fade Down and Dex. Friday, Come Fill My Eyes with Open Poetry, and Saturday, is split with Gray Eyes Howling at the Moon in the Canadian Wilds, bringing you Bad Company, and Exploring Ekphrasia with Captain B2 and Dan. And if you're looking for a little more edgy realm, then check out our After Midnight shows, 12:30 to 2:30 a.m. through Saturday morning. Tuesday, can take a walk on the wild side. Thursdays, join the Headliners Ball with Jeremy. Fridays, break on through with Pam. Saturdays, join Aphasia and Babla as they teach you the fine art of being part cinema. Heart Saint. And starting this next Sunday, join Robert N. with Solace for Shadows. I lost my place. I haven't done that in a long time. Anyway, welcome. How are you doing, Jean? Boy, that was a...
I'm doing good, Rex. And how are you? Well,
nothing like a brain fart in the middle at the end of my spiel.
When soon as you said that, I thought to myself, I think he's done. And then I was like, bam, like I wasn't like tuned completely in.
Yeah, I forgot the other end. Check out the contest and prompts for all of our shows and call and read your poems.
Oh, gotcha.
And hand for the fun. Yeah, the last three lines.
Well, that's all right. That's all right. We'll all forgive you. You know, you're the only one who's really got a spot on entrance into the show. We, you know, you talk about everybody's show. So, I mean, that's okay. You're allowed to do that once in a blue moon, I got to say. Absolutely. And just so you know, we have Pam with us. Hello, Pam. Welcome aboard.
Hi, Jean. Hi, Rex.
Good to be here.
Yeah.
Good to have
you. Well, and I always think you do great every week, Rex, with the way you make sure that every show is mentioned, because, you know, most of us just toss it into a generic version. So.
Well, I need to lead in to get comfortable.
Oh, yes, I get that. I get that for sure.
Yep.
So how is everybody doing?
Just fine.
How about you?
I am doing good. My life is never exciting, but, you know, the weather was nice and moderate. I kind of had a relaxing day. Made a big pot of homemade chicken rice soup and a banana cake.
Very nice. Can't beat that. Can't beat that. Absolutely. Oh, let's see. We have Thomas B. joining us. Hello,
hey, Thomas.
Thomas. How are you? Hello.
A blank
hi,
dial.
Thomas. Yeah. Well, he says hello in the room, so I guess I'll just stick there. Oh, my goodness.
Wow.
Yes.
Do you remember Grand Funk from back in the day?
Me?
Yeah.
I remember. Yes. Yes, yes. Good stuff.
Yeah,
you know, went in along with everything.
That first big hit.
I remember that one clear as a bell. But see, I'm not sure if I remember when it first came out or if I got the
1973.
Well, I might have remembered that then. I don't know.
It got a lot of airplay. It still does.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I was still a little sheltered back in 73. My mother, of course. You know, so I'm not sure. I may have just, because I was 11 then. You know, yeah. So I don't know. I can't really say that I was the first go round on that, but I definitely recall the song. And, yeah, I like that one. I like the intro song. It's good. I liked it then, too, when I heard it. So, you know, it's pretty good. And still no word from Tom, I think.
Hello. I'm here.
I don't know.
Hey, Thomas.
Oh, hi, Thomas.
Yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
I've been here. See, in 1973, I was 23. 2 days,
yeah.
Or no, I'll be 72. Which is pretty close to 73.
There you go. That's a good age, 72.
Yeah. I'm the youngest 72 you'll ever meet.
Well, that's probably pretty true. Absolutely. No. So, what is new and exciting with you, Thomas? Anything?
New and exciting.
Well, yeah.
Every day of my life.
It's pretty exciting. Got a couple words. Yeah. A little bit. Well, Rex, I'm going to take it back to you. Tell us a little bit about Grand Funk Railroad.
Well, they formed in 1969 out of their hometown, Flint, Michigan. The name of the band they got from their manager, and it's a play on the railroad that actually went through their town. It's called the Grand Trunk Western Railroad. So they took bits of that and came up with the Grand Funk Railroad for themselves. And the group started as a threesome. Mark Farner, going to lead vocals, Mel Shocker on bass. He was from Question Mark and the Mysterium, and Don Brewer on drums and vocals. He came out of Terry Knight and the Pack, and Terry Knight was the guy who ended up managing the group for the next little over 3 years. And he helped them name the band. Anyway, they first got notoriety and recognition in 1969 at the Atlanta International Pop Festival. And they made such a big splash, they were invited back the next year. Later in 69, early 70, they signed with Capitol Records. And 1972, they fired their manager. There were some inconsistencies going on, and they couldn't work with him, even though they only had 3 months left before his contract was up. He sued, and he ended up with all of their songs from 1969 to 72, all of the royalties, a couple of oil wells, and some cash on their way out the door. But they retained the name of the band. Anyway,
right.
That song you heard, the opener, that was their first major hit. And it went to number one on Mark Farner's 25th birthday in 1973. And what else we got? Also, another song that was really popular was The Locomotion. Carole King and Jerry Goffin wrote that, and it was originally sung by Little Eva. And what was that, Thomas?
I'm sorry. She watched their kids, and they wrote it for her.
Yes, but I was just saying, Carole King and Jerry Goffin were the writers of the song.
Right.
Little Eva was the original singer of that song, but the guys picked it up for as a cover for one of. Actually, made a pretty good amount of money off of that one because they did a little offset verse on it. And what else was there? They got elected in 05 to the Hall of Fame. They were pumping out music from 69 to 72. They put out six albums before they got rid of their manager and moved on. They split in 83, rejoined back together in 95, split again for a few years, and they joined back up again around 2015, and they're still touring today. So if you can find them, go see them.
Touring where the money is. Let's be honest.
Well, I just got the lowdown. Bruce is charging an arm and a leg. The nosebleed seats get $250 to $400 bucks. The lower level seats in that stadium are $400 to $500 bucks. The floor seats $750 and $1,000 to $4,000 for the specialty seats.
Wow,
and
crazy.
He just, what's really stuck is he just sold his entire catalog for $550 million. Now he's the only one who can actually afford the bloody tickets.
Yeah, right. That's
he seems to forget how he got to where he is. all those people that came to see him. And a bunch of other people are doing that too.
Days of play parks and wild long gone.
Unfortunately. I remember going, I remember seeing groups like this for $7.
I can remember going to an Annie Grass Valley in 1967, which got me suspended from school, and seeing Mandrake Memorial, which was the band that Todd Grunson played with and that Naz came out of.
And performing back in. Damn.
I mean, I remember seeing the Doors. We actually, by my roommate from high school, I went to a boarding school, and I got there early, and we went into Philly, and we caught a one-time show of the Doors before they were even known in a bar in Philly.
Oh, you were at the Whiskey A Go-Go?
But not in Philadelphia. That was in New York. They really came down one night because of some friend of theirs, and then they went back to New York. We didn't know who they were until the album came out that year. I mean, you know, it was like from nothing to everything all at once.
That sounds about right.
Pop Festival was the start of a whole lot of people. But in terms of the general public really waking up to everything that was going on, it took until Woodstock. And it was, if you were into Jefferson Airplane and Grateful Dead before then, most people looked at you like you came from another planet. That's on the East Coast where I was.
Yeah, I think Jefferson Airplane and the Grateful Dead, Jimi Hendrix, kind of hit the scene in 67 mm-hmm. at the Monterey Pop Festival.
Right. But most people on the East Coast, that was like, I mean, if you were in Philadelphia, it was Jerry Blavitt and the Oldies But Goodies. You went down to Virginia Beach, and it was R&B and certain beach sounds, and they weren't the same that they were. And the music you listened to in Virginia Beach wasn't the music you heard in Washington, D.C., which was primarily bluegrass, and wasn't the music you heard in Philadelphia. It was Oldies But Goodies with R&B mixed in. Which wasn't what you heard in New York. And where I was going to boarding school, we had people from all over the place. And I can remember hearing Love because somebody had found the album in a cutout bin in New York and brought it down. We all go, oh, wow, this is incredible. 7 to 7 is, whoa, tremendous. And we're listening to, you know, Paul Butterfield and the blues and his blues band, John Mayall, and because we had a guy from England who brought all this stuff that we hadn't even known existed because you didn't have the internet. You didn't have the entertainment industry thinking that music was anything. John
That's
Perry
true. FM hadn't hit the big time yet. AM was the major play zone.
Right. They were just starting to get recognized how big the Beatles were, and that was only because they could pack stadiums.
Yeah.
I mean, in 1964, you could have gone to the old Griffith Stadium and seen them in D.C., and it would have cost you $12.
That was quite a chunk of change back then.
Yeah, but it was still not that much.
Well, no, that's when actually what $12 was actually worth $12.
All right.
Why don't we start kicking things off there?
Well, it's Louis Armstrong on his 50th birthday, and I spent $8 on each ticket.
Yeah, that's what I remember. I caught Black Sabbath, Emerson, Lake and Palmer, Yes, Clapton, Crosby, Stills, Nash and Young, Blue Oyster Cult, Kansas, $7 a pop.
I saw the Tubes at a DC 101 concert, which may cost you $1.01.
Oh, man. All right, James, why don't we start things off?
Okay, Rex, you got it. I have the first piece up for you, so you can kick things off tonight. This is called All I Like Anonymous by Lord of Beat.
I Like Anonymity in the City by Lord of Beads. You're just a deceptive talker. I'm not born sleepwalker. Your word is like a sleep pill. I have a dream, like other people, curtains, but they're so to be on walls as posters. And me, like anonymity in the city, I like fame only within the family. I'm a man and need no bower. I like no dishonest lawyer. You cannot charm me with your eyes. Stop hiding behind your lies. Everyone prefers to live behind curtains, but a photo's to be on walls as posters. And me, like anonymity in the city, I like fame only within the family. Let me be your morale booster. I'll wake you up like a rooster. Truths are more bitter than lies. Only hypocrites like spies. Everyone prefers to live behind curtains, but their photo's to be on walls as posters. And me, like anonymity in the city, I like fame only within the family. Anonymity at the same time as reputation is like power without any trace of ostentation. What's the benefit of getting maximum friendship? I don't want to live like a doll with self-censorship. Everyone prefers to live behind curtains, but their photos to be on walls as posters. And me, like anonymity in the city, I like fame only within the family. End poem. And Lord of Beats took the Walk Like a Man as his prompt. And Pam, why don't we start with you?
All right. Well, first of all, great read there, Rex. You know, I thought this was an excellent take on the prompt. It made me think of the whole idea of how people hide their true selves behind the flash of the camera and the posters. And the mention of the curtain, of course, made me think of the Wizard of Oz, you know, and don't look at the man behind the curtain. I really like this all the way through, but I do really like, let me be your morale booster. I'll wake you up like a rooster. Truths are more bitter than lies. Only hypocrites like spies. And I like the whole idea of someone saying, you know what, you're spending too much time hiding behind the curtain. You're spending too much time accepting censorship, which is another line I really like, is that I don't want to live like a doll with self-censorship. You know, spending too much time accepting what other people tell you to be quiet about. And it's time that you woke up and stopped hiding behind the posters, stopped hiding behind the curtain, and spoke up for yourself. So really a raw, gritty write and very well done.
Nice. You said, Pam, thank you very much. And Thomas, how about you?
Hi. It plays well. We would call it the pressures of fame. And also the idea that, you know, fame has in a sense its own addiction. I don't want to read too much of the way it's hitting a really great subject about how self-centered and real and be exactly who you are when all the people around you who think you're famous and think you're important. I mean, I like that line, and I like fame only within the family. You know, it's just this idea that you have to maintain a certain groundedness. You have to get with the people who know you, because they're the ones who are going to punch holes. You know, when you start getting too big for reality, you know, and I really like that repeated chorus that he uses, because that really grows the whole piece and basically what he's trying to say. It's pretty nicely done.
Well said there, Tom. Thank you. And Gene, how about you?
You know, I thought this was a good take on that prompt, you know, just well penned. And the reason I say that is because I think he took the opposite from what this song was putting out there. And, you know, maybe I'm wrong. But what I gathered from the song is, you know, oh, I'm out there, I'm strutting my stuff till I'm 99, and I'm this and I'm that, and, you know, I'm all puffed up with pride. And this dude is not what I'm getting from this. You know, I'm getting it. I like fame only within the family. You know, I'm some of the old people. He wants to be important too. And you know, maybe I missed it. But I thought it was just a nice job and well written piece. Nice job.
Hi, sweet. I thank you, Jean. I think you hit the right note with the song and the voice itself, because the song hits on walk like a man and talk like a man. Walk like a man, baby, you can call me your man. A little girl asked me, what am I going to do when I got old and blue and worn clear through? And I said that by the time I'm going to be in my prime, I'm going to strut like a cock until I'm 99. So the idea of is owning yourself as opposed to putting on airs, so to speak. They hit that note with the thought of without any trace of ostentation. If you keep true to yourself as to who and what you are, you walk the walk, you talk the talk, and you don't deter off either side of the rail. You stay right on true with what you offer up. And that's why I hit that note with, as Thomas said, I like fame only within the family instead of everybody else. Hey, they don't want to live behind the curtain, so to speak, yet, but they do want their visage posted up everywhere, whether it's in the in homes, bedrooms, houses, across the walls of the cityscape. So if you're all of who and what you say you are, then you don't really need that to be something. Take on that, Lord. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, we're back on you.
Okay, well, Pam, I have the next one for you, and this is by Sarah Alok.
All right. And this is Full Stops and Commas Never Fit Pure Poetry by Sarah Alok, and it goes like this. I tried to write for you, but the word stop. Popping through lost as the world hurried by, eyes unable to blink away teardrops, mopping eyelashes, gathering heart's sigh. Try as I might, the words don't seem to fall, calling out my usual metaphors. For what is ink without pages that scrawl, stalled by my reluctance of you no more? Before already seems so long ago, slowly sinks a little sore, scoring up memories you'll never know. So I'll just let you play in rhymes galore and poem.
Great read, Pam. And Sarah took Heartbreaker as her prompt. And Thomas, why don't we start with you, please?
Don't be the next person, because I'm still thinking about some of the things you said here.
What was that, Tom?
I'm going to go to the next person. I'm still thinking about some of the things.
Oh, okay. All right, Jean.
You know, I like this piece by Sarah, and I thought it was nicely done. Not familiar with the prompt. So I have to just go on the fact that it was a good poem. I find it intriguing. She said that it was unbent form that she created. So I thought that was kind of intriguing. But nice imagery throughout, you know. I like this last stanza. Before already seems so long ago, slowly sinks a little sore, scoring up memories you'll never know. So I'll just let you play in rhymes galore. You know, just some nice lines throughout. And nice job, Sarah, and thanks for sharing with us tonight.
Thank you, Jean. Pam, you got to read it. What about you?
Yeah, you know, I really enjoyed this one. You know, I told her that, well, I like that it was a form that she invented. I will say I don't really think I did the read justice, because it has more commas and periods than other forms, which I'm sure that's how it's supposed to be. But, you know, when I was reading it to myself earlier today, it had a staccato-type feel, a rhythm to it that I really liked and appreciated in this form that she created. I like how this poem gives me the general idea of love lost and the fact that all new memories created are going to be no longer shared together. I really like, try as I might, the words don't seem to fall, calling out my usual metaphors for what is ink without pages that scrawl, stalled by my reluctance of you no more. There's a real idea of kind of, you know, shutting down and struggling to express one's loss and one's feelings. So excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Thomas, how about you? You ready?
I think Pam summed it really nicely. I can't argue with the things she said. She does a really good job of both using the way the words play on them. So I try to write to you, but the words stop. Popping thoughts, loss as the world hurries by. Eyes unable to blink away teardrops. You know, the rhyme's nice, but also the sort of the staccato element makes you hear each word kind of in its own distinct fashion, so that there's a really nice kind of something more than rhythm. I mean, you know, the staccato makes it have more of a drum beat, almost a backbeat to it. And I really like that. That's what threw me at first, because I was listening to the sound of it more than I was listening to the words. But I had to stop and go away and say, what is it saying to me? Not just what is it, how does it feel? That's a sharp piece when you know, you can separate me from listening to meaning and getting more caught up in just the way it sounds, it falls together. Very, very well done.
Thank you, Thomas. She's got a line in each of these stanzas which sets the tone for the piece. Right off, she hits you with, I try to write for you, but the words stop. Then that second stanza, stalled by my reluctance of you no more, play in rhymes galore. There's that progression of the pain to start where she can't write because she's under too much heartache in the moment. The second one sees that it's still coming hard. I try as I might, the words don't seem to fall, calling out my usual metaphors. For what is ink without pages that scroll? And by the time it gets to the eighth line, she's already hit that note where the stalling has stopped, stalled by my reluctance of you no more. And then the last stanza, Walker, the pain is ebbing a little bit more, but by the time she gets down to the 12th line to finish, she hits on that note of, I'll just let you play in rhymes galore, meaning she's past the bittersweet moments that hurt, and now she can actually put the whole thing together in a purposeful manner that helps flush the system fully. Nicely done, Sarah. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, where about going? You?
Okay, Thomas, I have the next one I'm going to put up for you. This is by Damn It Dave.
Oh, I enjoy Damn It Dave. It swings around, so I got it. Okay. Mean mistreater. Girl, you know that you mistreat me, and you ask me why I'd stay. Well, I'm into you completely, and I love you anyway. I don't care if you deride me. You can slap me in the face. I'll just grin and stand there idly. I'm your servant to the base. Girl, your body is a temple where I worship every night. And though you're completely mental, you're a lecherous delight. So go on, humiliate me, but go ahead. You can curse me and berate me, just don't kick me out of bed.
Great read, Thomas. Thank you very much. And as the title says, Mean Mistreater was the prompt. All right, Gene, what do you think?
Well, you know, I like Damn It's work. I love a great rhyming poem. And I think that, again, I'm not familiar with it, but Mean Mistreater kind of speaks for itself. And I did get a kick out of some of these stanzas here. I love the intro piece. the intro, you know, girl, you know that you mistreat me, and you ask me why I stay. Well, I'm into you completely, and I love you anyway. You know, so you, right there, you lead you in there. You're like, okay, where's this going to go? But definitely, the end stanza really wrapped it all up. You know, it's like, go on, humiliate me. You've got to go ahead. You can curse me and berate me. Just don't kick me out of bed. You know, I mean, yeah, I liked it. I really did. I think Dave did a great job with this. As always, Ron the Meter's, you know, on, you know, spot on. But I liked the piece. I thought it was well done, and it was, you know, humorous enough, you know. So, nice work.
Absolutely. The original is slow. It's very heavy in its note to sadness and the way he's being treated. Dave took the opposite view to this. Hey, I don't give a rat's hairy hindquarters how you treat me. I worship your body. You know what? You might be mental as all get out, but damn, I'll take everything you got as long as you don't kick me out of bed for eating crackers. And Pam, you back yet? Tom, so you got to read it. What'd you think?
Well, when I got to that line, girl, your body is a temple, I really had to laugh because you hear so many people talking about my body is a temple, you know, and be careful with what you put into it. And he just takes that whole line. I mean, there's a sense of humor going on in this, which just has me crack up, even though every mash is out there just delightfully happy to sing something like this. It's just a really sharp piece because he plays it straight, but with just enough of certain lines in it, you know, you can slap me in the face, girl, your body is a temple, go on, humiliate me, just don't kick me out of bed. I mean, it's so nicely tongue-tied that it had me smiling and trying to laugh while I was reading my way through it.
Absolutely. There was a nice little touch of humor in the debasing angle on that one, which was a little different, but hey, you know what? To each his own. Hey, you know, just keep me around a little longer. I'm not going nowhere. All right, Gene, we're back on you.
Keep dokey. Well, I'm going to put this one up by Betty Page, and I'm going to read this one. Hollywood Stars by Betty Page. Hollywood stars, shimmering sunset, diamond rings, wearing fine bling, walking down the strip, strutting in high heels, go-go boots, high mini skirts on the boulevard. Tickets to the show, VIP backstage tonight, strippers, hustlers, cruising fancy cars, flipping rainbowed retro drinks, DJs, records, dancing till the dawn, wild after parties, making love social, and fun.
Great read, Gene. Thank you very much. And Thomas, why don't we start with you, please?
This is, I want to get the right term. Typical, I don't like, but it just rings a Betty Page. Nice little, you know, three-line stanzas, sharp little sense of humor, a certain sensuality that sort of plays through it, but without ever really getting too heavy. I mean, I just like strutting in high heels, go-go boots, high mini skirts on the boulevard. I mean, that's just she makes these little sharp, tight pictures. It's just delight, no end. Dancing to the dawn, wild after parties, making love so sweet. It's always a little sensual. It's always a little bit of a tease. It's also just light enough that it. It allows you to sort of dance with it without having to feel like you have to get too serious. I guess that's the right way to put it. I've been trying to find a way to catch the magic that she sort of brings to the words.
I get you. Thank you, Thomas. Gene, how about you?
Well, I think that Betty painted a very interesting picture of the nightlife. You know, I want to say, you know, the boulevard, but, you know, she's got this, it's not just it's sort of one place, you know. It has the boulevard, but then it's tickets to the VIP backstage tonight, you know, cruising fancy cars, you know. So maybe it is the boulevard, but, I mean, I think that she hit on a few more angles than that, and I think she did a good job with that. I think that the imagery was good, and I think it kind of puts you there, you know, in that space, you know, that headspace. I didn't see a specific prompt, but I think she just tried to encompass that whole vibe, and I think she did a nice job with it.
Absolutely, she took that opening note from "We're an American Band," "Out on the Road for 40 Days," "Last Night in Little Rock," "Purple Haze," "Sweet Sweet Connie." She had the whole show, and that's a natural fact. Connie back in the day was someone all the bands knew because she was a big groupie. She'd follow them around. She'd always get into the dressing rooms. She'd get behind backstage. She knew everybody back in the day, and she got a kick out of actually getting into this song because she knew the boys as well. Anyway, I think that's what Betty zeroed in on, especially with the strut and the high heels, the go-go boots, the high mini skirts. The thought of this going Hollywood angle is that other end of thought where, you got to look good, the backstage pass for all the glitterati, because they will pick up on and have the girls come backstage after their shows because, hey, the after parties are the best places and the only places to be seen at.
Absolutely. Well, you know, Rex, I have to tell you this. I have to laugh because I scrolled right past the music at the top, didn't even pay it any mind. Looked down at the bottom in the AA and said, oh, what's the prompt? Oh, there's no prompt here. Oh, whatever. Yeah, I'm just a little lost. It's okay. I have to laugh at myself. I swear. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Look, I'm just doing wow. Jello shots in the alley.
Oh, my goodness. Is Pam not back yet?
Nope.
Or is she? No?
I've actually been back for like about 5 minutes.
Well, you could have dropped something in the room to say so.
I did. I said, if you look, it says there, between Dan McDade and Betty Page is Pam Ray saying, I'm back.
Yes.
Well, all right, since you got to hear Betty's piece.
All right. I really enjoy this one. What is it? There's some poems that just have a certain like vibe and energy to it. And I really liked that this one had a very nostalgic feel, a very cool vibe to it. It was fun to read. I like the title, Hollywood Stars. And I like that because I felt like it was a play on words because, you know, we all think of the famous Hollywood stars of the 1930s, 40s, that. But then these Hollywood stars are the everyday people who make up the Hollywood strip and, you know, and the bling. I like there's that brief mention of the strippers and hustlers, tickets to show, VIP backstage night, strippers, hustlers. So you know they're there, but it's not focused solely on them. It's like you're getting to see a whole kaleidoscope of the different type of people that, you know, make up this area. I thought it was a great take on her chosen prompt. And, you know, I like how she brings it all the way down to wild after parties and then making love so sweet. You know, going home with that special someone after all the partying, after all the, you know, VIP events. So really just a wonderful write and very well done.
All right. Thank you very much. And all right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay, well, I'm kicking the next one over to you there, Rex, and this one is by Keith Talethorpe.
Ooh, Sudoku. A Nasty Job by Keith Balthorpe. Someone is always watching me, no matter what I'm doing. My finger could be up my nose, or I could well be screwing. I might have freed a fetid fart and wafted it on air. The watcher knows of each event, although he doesn't care. Sometimes I try to spice things up to make his burden lighter. I invite several chicks to come and do an overnighter, but he abstains behind a door, aversion to such things. Sometimes I think I hear him snore while waiting in the wings. And when I lay me down to rest, I know he's at his post. With him at his dead level best, my privacy is toast. So motor on, you peeping Tom, the bottom entry to it is I bear looking in upon, and you're the dude to do it. And boom. Oh, and the prompt is paranoid. All right, Pam, you get to lead off.
All right. First of all, great read there, Rex. Yeah, I like his take on paranoid, and I like the humor in his AN where he says even paranoids have real enemies. And, you know, I like the humor in this, the idea that if somebody is always watching us, they're eventually going to catch us doing things like, you know, picking our noses and farting. And, but I like, and when I lay me down to rest, I know he's at his post. With him at his dead level best, my privacy is toast. So motor on, your peeping Tom, the bottom entry to it is I bear looking in upon, and you're the dude to do it. I love the idea that the humor in the whole idea that they've decided since this person is so good at keeping an eye on them, it's going to be their lifelong job.
Oh,
very cool.
Nice, Pam. Thank you. And Thomas, how about you?
Yeah, I agree. The opening verse just basically says, you know, if you don't watch me, you have to accept the fact that every human being does it in time or another. And I thought the first line of the second verse was kind of cute, you know. I try to spice things up to make it burden lighter. You know, it's like, I'm not doing this because I'm doing this for me. I'm doing this for you because you're watching and I might as well put on a good show. It's almost like I no longer have to be responsible for myself because I have this guy that's just watching everything I do. And, you know, he must be judgment-free because I'm so glorious that he's got nothing else to do in his spare time but to pay attention to me. I mean, there's a certain ego play in this, as well as the sense of paranoia of there's always somebody looking in trying to do something to me. It's a pretty sharp little piece in its own drop. Okay, I like the opening line because a nasty job, is it a nasty job because you're being watched, or is it a nasty job because you're the one doing the watching? And I like that double play on that trailer.
Nice. Thank you, Thomas. Gene, how about you?
Well, I have to say, I thought it was pretty humorous. You know, that really, I did. I was, like, chuckling all the way through. The intro stanza was like, uh-oh, where are we going now? But it just really, it just kept it going all throughout. And when it got down to the end, the bottom entry to it is I bear looking in upon, and you're the dude to do it. I thought that was just kind of comical. You know, I mean, paranoid, and he's got his eyes on it. It's one person, you know, watching him. And I think that was just kind of a curious take on it all the way through. But nicely done. I did get a laugh, and I thought it was a nice job. So well done, Keith.
It is. It had a great flow to it. And you're right, that first stanza had the second and third lines in were funny as hell. I might have seen a pretty spot and walked it in on air. The watcher knows of each event, although he doesn't care. It's almost like a happenstance. And he doesn't mention how old or young this person is, but always watching. So my guess is it's somebody who doesn't go out and they've got nothing else better to do. Can't stand the daytime soap. So I'll watch some nighttime drabs if if I have nothing else to do. And then the thought of actually spicing things up and to make his burden lighter, inviting over a few girls for an overnighter, and that still doesn't bring him to bear. So that kind of hits on the note. Hey, do you have a serial killer in the making looking in on you?
I'm kind of something.
Yeah.
Okay.
We might find bodies one day.
Maybe it's a little lady looking for
But he did say dude, so yeah, if it's a little old lady, I just think she'd be shocked. Or maybe she's just grumbling, hey, I want in on that.
Yeah. Hey.
All right, we're back to you.
Okay. The next piece I'm going to put up is for Pam. So, Pam, if you'd be so kind, whenever you're ready.
All right. Oh, hey, I know her. All right.
Mm-hmm.
Let me just adjust my letters, and here we go. Old sages and new fires, we long to explore starlight but can't untangle from the muck we slide in. The light of rock songs is calling our names to phantoms of glory. Shining like an oil stain in a parking lot, we look up at the moon, mother to all, that clench their teeth upon song lines that bleed into the night. There's old sages and new fires in this age of complications, tender words, thoughts observed, and galaxies of new ages. The corn cob pipe is stuffed, and the embers glow with promises that tomorrow a rocket ship of magic will translate messages in space, and we'll all be in the knowing as our knowing thoughts are flowing beyond what our eyes can see. End poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jean, you got first dibs.
Yeah, I think this was a great page. I don't want to say it that way. Let me, the prompt, shining on. This definitely speaks to those that title. And again, I don't know the song, but I have to assume that Pam really tapped in on this all the way through. The light of rock songs is calling our names, the phantoms of glory. Shining like an oil stain in a parking lot, we look up at the moon, mother to all. You know, I mean, you know, you got that shining thing flicked in here, and it works. It works all the way through. And a nicely written piece, Pam, as always, just really nice. Well done.
Thank you.
And Thomas, how about you?
Look at the title, Old Sages and New Fires, you know, it's like the old wisdom, but new things coming. You know, and I know there's a feeling of youthfulness, and we long to explore starlight that can't untangle from the muck we slide in. You know, there's that desire to go out and do something new instead of be staying back all the other stuff. The rock song calling our names, the phantoms of glory. You know, there's something about music and magic and everything else. And even though, you know, this shining like a little stain in a parking lot, we look at the moon. This interplay between, you know, the everyday and things not quite being as wonderful as we'd like, and yet somehow keep finding something that is exciting, that's, you know, up there, you know, the moon, stars. There, you know, there's old sages and new fires in this age of complications. You know, everything's moving on, and so it's. I like the way she's playing little pieces back and forth. You know, tender words, thoughts absorbed, and galaxies of new ages. There's this sense that there's always something that's going to excite us, and yet at the same time, having to clean up the crap that's still there. You know. When you get to these last lines, the rocket ship of magic, let's translate message into space, and we'll all be in the knowing, our knowing thoughts are flowing beyond what our eyes can see. It ends in such a feeling of hope, just a great sense of, you know, we're going to make it better, no matter what. And I like that. It's a real positive feel to this whole piece.
Thank
nice,
you.
Thomas. I got to start with that first stanza like Thomas did. Kind of hits on that note of, we started out with the age of Aquarius, and now we're kind of slip sliding in shite, so to speak. it hits on that. It does walk in that road of so much promise, yet the promise, because you hit on that, in this age of complications, yet there's still that look back in time to the messages that were drawn out across the board all through the 60s and the 70s. And it's kind of funny now that today's music is doing the electronic babbling crap and everything's got to be perfectly tuned, that a lot of today's kids are going back in time to the 60s and 70s and 80s and listening to what we grew up on, and they're blown away with what they're hearing back from back then as opposed to what they're actually getting from today's musicality. So
mm-hmm.
I think that's what you got going on. Yeah, especially with that corn cob stuff. Getting a little weedy.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Rex, and thank you for the inspiration.
You're welcome. And speaking of that, Jean, how about putting on Shining On?
What I do now?
Sure.
Sorry, I was just a little lost. Okay, you're Shining On. Here we go.
We'll be right back.
right, Jean, we're back to you.
Okie dokie. Well, let me see. The next piece I have up, Thomas, can I get you to read that for us, please?
Certainly. An empty closet, or someone like it. Nudity. The world isn't healthy enough to support it. Besides, sex and relationships is a guessing game, and nudity gives you too much information. The malls would go out of business, clothing stores, a museum piece, equal to a phone booth, Superman's strongly supported landlines. Hey, get with it. Innovation is strongly supported by landfills and archaeologists out of work. When they come up with something useful, not another work-saving device, I got that tough sitting on my ass, I've noticed it, growth industry. When you wake up to go to bed, it isn't surprising you find yourself awake. What is surprising is that you find yourself is always the last place you look. Why? Because you stop looking when you find it, unless you're stoned or tripping. Then the hunt is everything. Some guys forget they are married. They find out they aren't, and it was an expensive adventure into dysfunction. Where was I? I'm still looking. I just avoid mirrors when I am naked. Do you really want to look? Do you really want to know those who spend too much time looking? Maybe they're trying to find themselves. I think I will stick with nudity.
Great read, Thomas. Thank you very much. All right, Pam, you get to lead off.
All right. Well, great read there, Tom. And, you know, I really thought this was a clever write, very intelligent all the way through, wonderful imagery and metaphors. You know, I like that you talk about, you write about physical nudity, but the physical nudity represents a revealing of self, you know, and the idea of looking for yourself, but not looking for yourself so much that you're one of those self-absorbed people. I really like innovation is strongly supported by landfills and archaeologists out of work when they come up with something useful, not another work-saving device. I also like near the end where you say, do you really want to look? Do you really want to know those who spend too much time looking? Maybe they're trying to find themselves. I think I will stick with nudity. You know, because I think there's that idea that there's just so much easier ways to reveal ourselves than to be emotionally caught up in ourselves to where we don't notice other people. You know, I just a really thought-provoking write. And very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
You know, Tom, I think this was a really well-expressed piece. I do. I loved your intro stanza here. Nudity? The world isn't healthy enough to support it. Besides, sex and relationships is a guessing game, and nudity gives you too much information. The malls would go out of business, clothing stores, a museum piece, equal to a phone booth. Superman strongly supported landlines. You know, I love that. And I love the, hey, get with it. Definitely, the lead-in was strong and really well done in this. And the rest of it followed suit. You know, I mean, it really, nice work all the way around. So, yeah, enjoyable. Definitely enjoyable.
Thank you, Jean. I, too, enjoyed mm-hmm. that opening comment. So it's there's a lot of thought in that, as well as the obvious fact that you hit on. Sex and relationships is a guessing game, and nudity gives you too much information. It's kind of like that notion of as you hit on Supernet's strongly supported landline, you hit on that bite of technology we hold in our hand, your cell phone, where everything streams into someone else's pocket, and there's always too much information being delivered in the moment, and the thought of nudity is not just the thought of nudity itself. It's the thought of that which we bear over these devices. And you don't know who's actually reading it, who's taking a note of it, who's got the pictures of it. And it's all going to a lot of other people who bite into the notion of, ah, this is how we get them to move into the next new goodie bit that they have to buy. I think you hit on that too. Innovation is strongly supported by landfills and archaeologists out of work. When they come up with something useful, not another work-saving device. Again, that idea of taking too much out of the hands of people who should be doing something with their time instead of the retrograde thought to 10 hours a day on video games or walking in that realm. Because even at that level, if they're streaming it online, that can be got into by the PTVs. So the idea of nudity in this is the fact that there are way too many people out there who know more than enough about us without actually bearing the sort of skin itself, not to mention the cracks and crevices that they come into contact with if they actually get to do see the fleshy angle. And then there's that thought you hit on, I am still looking, I just avoid mirrors when I am naked. Again, that note to a sort of, yeah, maybe I'm a little bit too old for this day and age because it's a little out of hand.
Yeah, well, you know, look at TikTok.
Yes. Oh, hell. Yeah, and what do they call them? Something girls? Only girls. There's supposed to be some channels that they do all sorts of strange and odd things, but you got to pay for it.
Yeah, I mean, it still comes down to who can create the greatest mysteries, you know, who can canalize you. You know, if you're really naked, you're not that interesting.
Yeah. And it does pose up the threat. Hey, you're doing that, you've already sold out yourself all across the Internet. Everybody's seen it. What's left in mystery?
I just found the poem that was the inspiration, or whatever you want to call it. I just found myself, you know, because it has sort of a Bukowski feel to it, and I just found myself thinking about the fact that, you know, if you go back into variety and the early strip teases and the bubble and the dances with bubble dance, you know, what they call bubble dancers and all this other stuff, you really weren't ever showing anything. You were just getting that if they watched hard enough and looked long enough, they might see something, you know. It's like the woman who understands you unbutton, you know, the top two buttons, and every once in a while just sort of lean forward enough that people think they might see something if they look hard enough. You'd be amazed the number of guys who get caught looking all the time. I mean, you know.
Hey, that's natural.
But you see, with so much of the Internet, they've taken all that away, you know. Now you get nudity,
yeah.
And you're like, okay, so what?
Yeah, there's no more pomp and circumstance. It's kind of matter of fact now.
I'm boring. You know, and plus the fact if you, especially some of the things that play to people who want to work out and stuff like that, you're like, you know, this looks like, you know, we have come to the narcissistic convention for sure, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, he'd be proud narcissist, would.
I just found myself laughing about a whole lot of it.
Excellent. All right, Gene, we're back at two.
Okay, no. Well, Rex, that brings me to you. This next piece is Abigail,
all right.
A damn woman. Like Pee Wee Cushion. Cushion.
Abigail, Best Damn Woman by Pee Wee Cushion. Ain't been a thing, no word I can sing that ain't true. And all these things that I do well, you know, I do them all for you. I told you that I will, then you tell me still that you won't. I'm telling you that you saved me. Stick around, baby. I don't mean maybe. I know we've been through it all before, but don't you walk out and close the door. It don't matter, bird or feather, nothing matters if we ain't together. Fire from the skies, see it in my eyes, but then you try to bring in the rain to ease up the pain before I die. Now I may just tell a tale of how I love Miss Abigail. All these things I've said before, but stick around, I'll say 'em more. Destiny's the lumen, but Miss Abigail's the best damn woman. It don't matter, bird or feather, nothing matters if we ain't together. Destiny be illumined, but Miss Abigail's the best damn woman. End poem. And he retook Sins of a Good Man's Brother as his poem. All right, Pam, what you got?
Well, I really enjoy this. Wonderful rhyme and flow, very lyrical quality. I like how it has kind of a bluesy type feel to it. I felt it was that it really had a nice groove to it, and I liked how it was about that love that, you know, like it kind of felt like the idea of, to me, of a love that was ending and that you wanted to save it, but you knew that wasn't going to happen. I really like, I'm telling you that you saved me, stick around, baby. I don't mean maybe. I know we've been through it all before, but don't you walk out and close the door. It kind of feels like the whole idea of someone who's apologized one time too many, or, you know, too many times, but hasn't had the actions to back it up. I like that he actually came up with a name. Now, I don't know if that's because there's the song that he wrote to has the name Abigail in it, but, you know, that part's really cool. And just, like I said, a very blues type and lyrical quality that I really appreciated. So very well done.
Well, thank you, Pam. And Thomas, how about you?
I like the way he phrases it, because I can hear the chunk of the guitar and the drum beat behind it. I can almost compose a song that I'm going through. I kept looking for which one of these lines I'd steal out and start using for a chorus or repeating, and, you know, in the background, you know, like, how I love Miss Abigail. He does that opening where it's sort of like, you know, I'm being hurt because you don't get how much I think you're the greatest thing on 2 feet, and you're thinking about leaving me because maybe I don't love you enough. But, you know, Miss Abigail, you are the world to me. He just slaps it down really nice. It's well put together. Like, you know, it's already been said, it's got that really nice bluesy feel to it. I mean, you know, it's great. Things are bad that way. Sometimes you don't have to be the person who's playing with some bands. You just have to know how to set them up for the right stuff. Why a good producer is everything.
Excellent. Thank you, Thomas. And Gene, how about you?
Well, you know, I found this piece interesting, and, you know, it kind of took off from me here. Now I may just tell a tale of how I love Miss Abigail. All these things I've said before, but stick around, I'll say them more. Destiny's a lumen, but Miss Abigail's the best damn woman. And, you know, and of course I could keep reading down to the end, but I don't think anybody wants to hear me read it. But it don't matter, bird or feather, nothing matters if we ain't together. And, you know, that's basically, I think, the kind of repeat lines, because how do you say it, twice before?
One.
It's twice before the lines about if we ain't together. A stanza falls twice, and Destiny is illumined.
One up the top, one and one on the bottom.
That's as well. Yeah, so, I mean, there's a few repeat stanzas in here, and I think that they really do make an impact. They're a little haunting in a way, you know, because, you know, it seems like she's leaving, you know, and it kind of leaves you with that that life that's not just going his way. But I think it was nicely written, and great job for sure, PB, and thanks for sharing.
Yeah, because he uses that very same stanza in the first half of this, and then finishes out that refrain with, fire from the sky, seed in my eyes, but then you try to bring in the rain to ease up the pain before I die. I'm hitting that as the thought to the end of the first half of the song, because then he hits on a more bluesy note with, now I may just tell a tale of how I love Miss Abigail. And then you've got the double meaning with, destiny's illumined, but Miss Abigail's the best damn woman. And then the repeat of that one stanza, it don't matter, bird or feather, nothing matters if we ain't together. And then the repeat again, destiny be illumined, but Miss Abigail's the best damn woman. That chorus note. Nicely done, Pee-wee. Thank you very much. All right, Jane. We're about to do you.
Okay, so Thomas has left us. And good night, Thomas. Take care.
Good night, Thomas. Keep that freak flag flying high.
Yep. There's Thomas. There you go. Okay, Rex.
Hey, we do got a piece in here that needs to be sung.
I didn't catch any of that. I'm sorry.
So we do got a piece in there that needs to be sung. So where would you like to go next?
I don't know. Well, I'm going to put the next piece up for you, Rex, and this is by Brother Jacob. So whenever you are ready.
That's the piece I was talking about.
Was that what I was supposed to do?
It just worked out. A Coca-Cola by Brother Jacob. Everybody's swigging a brand new drink now. Come on, baby, drink a Coca-Cola. I know you'll get to like it if you give it a sip now. Come on, baby, drink a Coca-Cola. A little baby sister can drink one with me. It's 0% alcohol and drug-free. So come on, drink a Coca-Cola with me. And boom. I thought you did that up right there, Brother Jacob. I enjoyed this piece. Pam, where you at?
I am hiding behind the curtain just like I always do. Wonderful singing there, Rex. I really enjoyed that. Yeah, I have to say this was a great parody. I really like that he took a favorite drink, so this kind of gave it a fun, nostalgic vibe. I really liked it all the way through because, honestly, with a short little parody like this, it's hard to separate any part. But I really like my little baby sister can drink one with me. It's 0% alcohol and drug free. So it's that whole idea that the whole family is getting into the groove. So very well done. Oh, and I like that he put a picture of a glass. I have to add this. I like that he put a picture of a glass bottle Coca-Cola because I think that fits so much better than one of those like plastic bottles. And I have to say, I think pretty much everything tastes better out of a glass bottle. And so, excellent, right?
Bring us that kind of that 1950s, 60s look. All right, Gene, what about you?
Well, we know he wasn't talking about the original Coca-Cola in that line.
I think that's the big drift there.
Yeah, absolutely. Cute parody. No, I had no idea what you were talking about, Rex. I'm glad it was the one you were, because I was next in the line. It was short and it was sweet. But yeah, clever, great parody on the song as well.
Locomotion.
But I thought it was the locomotion. But I thought it was clever how he put them together and came up with something. But it was well done. So nice work, Brother Jacob.
Absolutely. That was a nice bite into the locomotion on a different feel.
Mm-hmm.
All right, then, where shall we go next?
La, 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 I don't know. I guess I'll read this one. Hey, Julie Buck. Hope it's not 9 miles long. What will give it a whirl? And the Blue Jay Knows by Julie Buck. Oh, yeah. Okay. It's not easy walking away from what has always defined you, wanting to look the sailor foregoes. The discarded bottle harbors not only reflections of the future, his past, but of his now, this moment, this stage, and the Blue Jay Knows. The mariner stays his forested course, guided now not by the North Star, but by the sunset's warm glows. The pine trees, silent, keep him focused, and the peculiar bottle holds messages inside. Tragedy, death, and ocean trauma, and the Blue Jay Knows. Nothing means anything anymore. He's at war with only himself, and he must meet life head on, full speed, fate chose. This new day of living, of being, of grieving through leaving was never part of the plan. He never met the ending he craved, and the Blue Jay knows. Heading due west, there is no sleep or even rest. The bottle whispers secrets, ships lost deep at sea. Being a man with an unexpected, he flows. Testing firm ground, unsure of his footing, but still putting forth certainty that this is his path to a vision yet developed. And he walks with a purpose, because the Blue Jay knows that even unfamiliar can be relief, that even woes can bequeath healing, that even the enclosed can have feeling, and that the unknown can grant peace and hope.
Great read, Jean. Boy, this is a deeply reflective piece, considering that opening thought to it's not easy walking away from what has always defined you, wanting to look back, the sailor foregoes. And then running that thought with the idea of the message in the bottle angle, floating on the sea, going place to place until it finally collides with the notion that it has actually found home. And that's the song Julie took here, Close to the Home, that note of leaving, which has always been the home, the sea, and trying to find his way back to what once was a home some long, long time ago, and making that long travel with the Blue Jay as a little touch of knowledge to the fact that where the bird on the wing goes, I too follow. All right, Pam, what about you?
Yeah, I really liked this one. I actually put it on my poems I think are awesome list. I like the repetitive line in the Blue Jay Knows, the kind of comparison and connection of the man who travels and, you know, moves on to new things. And, you know, it's like I thought there was that great comparison of that whole idea of how a blue jay is a very observant bird, always keeping an eye out. I really like the beginning, plus the pine tree's silent, keep him focused, and the peculiar bottle holds messages inside, tragedy, death, and ocean traumas. And the idea that there's so much, like being a sailor on the sea, there's so much potential for death and ugliness out there. And yet if that death and ugliness is the familiar, it's not easy to let it go. And I like that with the last part she puts, because the Blue Jay knows, in bold to emphasize it, and the line that even unfamiliar can be a release, that even woes can bequeath healing. And I really like those lines because they're very reflective, they're very philosophical, and they show how it's oftentimes that we grow through the most difficult and challenging times of our lives. So just a brilliant write and very well done.
And Jean, how about you?
Well, you know, I think Julie did a great job with the prompt on this one. You know, I see in her author's notes, you know, she has, gosh, that's not it. Wait, I got a million things that are the wrong color here. It says, man finding his new identity after leaving the military, searching. And I think that that was a pretty clever angle to take on the song itself. I think that nothing means anything anymore. He's at war with only himself, and he must meet light head on, full speed. Take two. This new way of living, of being, of grieving, though leaving was never part of the plan, he never met the ending he craved. And the Blue Jay knows. I thought that was just two stanzas that I thought were really good. But I think they were all good in their own respect. You know, it was just nicely written piece, and I really enjoyed it. Nice job, Julie.
Where would you like to go next?
I don't know.
How
did you get to come in before me? That's what I want to know. Okay,
oh, I started
let me
off.
See. Yeah, please. Okay, Pam, I think I'm coming to you next. So,
okie dokie, Smokey.
Okay, Pam, this one is by Kay Hart. Whenever you're ready.
All right. The Preteen Locomotion by Kay Hartless. And it goes like this. Piston hands, hips like wheels, locomotion dance, gangly years, golden lamps without genies, happy meals, holding hands, bangs and heels, Pizza Hut, personal pans, let's make a deal, first crushes and cramps, hair like a pinwheel, take a chance, an awkward motion, in hot green shorts, the preteen locomotion, end poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right there, Gene, you get the lead off.
Okay, well, there we go. I think that this was a great little take on the prompt itself, you know, locomotion. You know, pissing hands, hips like wheels, locomotion being gangly, you know, golden lamps without genies, happy meals, holding hands, bangs and heels. Just, I think it was a cute take on it. I really do. It was kind of a bebop-y kind of song, and it gives me that kind of a feel on the poem itself. So just a well-done piece. Thank you so much, Kay Hartless.
Absolutely. All right, Pam, what you got?
I thought this was fun. It was bouncy. It was nostalgic. It had a wonderful energy to it. I like how it's relatable in many ways, you know, like the idea of the going through those in-between years, those preteen years where you feel gangly and you're trying to find your identity. I really liked Pizza Hut, personal pans, let's make a deal, first crushes and cramps, hair like a pinwheel. And the whole idea of the awkward motions that we go through in order to try to show people who we are through our hair and through our dance choices. You know, it's just absolutely great fun and very well done.
Yes, this does kind of scream at girls at this time, right before the teenage years, the gangly years, the happy meals, Pizza Hut. Let's make a deal. Now, there's that notion, let's make a deal between mom and daughter. And then it's in the first crush and the cramps, hair like a pinwheel. And then it then comes in hot green shorts. Yeah, talk to your mother about that one, because I said no.
Yeah.
All right, Gene, we're back on you.
I'm coming back to you, Rex.
And hey, hold on. Uh-huh. Little Tarzan by Lawrence 67. Now, look here, little Tarz. You can do this. Yep, yep, I can do it. Yep, yep. Okay, now, jump. Huh? No, can't do it. Gonna go splat on the jungle floor. All right, buddy. All right, buddy boy, listen to me. You're the son of the king of the jungle who swings all over the jungle. How would it look if his boy from his baby mama couldn't swing? Now, you got this. Yep, I got this. That's my boy. Now ready and jump. No, can't do it. Gonna go splat. Now look here, little turd. I mean, Tars. We've been through this. Now first grab the vine, jump and swing through the jungle. Yep, yep, I can do it. Okay, now on three. Okay, you can do it. Ready? And one, two, kick.
Yay!
Oh, shit. I'm out of here. End poem. All right, Dan.
Oh, great read there, Rex. That one was definitely some fun. Something a little different from Lawrence 67. You know, as always, he's got great humor. I like that he takes a classic character like Tarzan and brings in his son with the idea of Tarzan having a son that's afraid to swing. And, you know, this was just great to listen to. But I especially liked when you did the IE splat. But my favorite lines were, all right, buddy boy, listen to me. You're the son of the king of the jungle who swings all over the jungle. How would it look if this boy from his baby mama couldn't swing? And I like how there's a duality with the word swing, like the classic Tarzan swinging the vine, but also, you know, a Tarzan who swings from baby mama to baby mama. So fun write and very well done.
All right, Gene, how about you? Did you giggle in the background?
It was a fun. I'm sorry. What was that?
Did you giggle in the background?
To laugh at this, I did. I really thought it was pretty funny. And it's very different than what I've seen from Lawrence 67. Normally he's got you involved or Pam involved or, you know, heaven only knows who else involved. In the right.
Nigel and
Alfie. I'm sorry?
Nigel and Alfie.
I didn't hear you. Yes.
Nigel and Alfie.
Yeah, he usually has all these different characters, but now all of a sudden we have little Tars and Cheetah, and now he's got a whole different cast of characters, which I thought was kind of different for what I've seen. So I thought it was nicely done. I thought it was funny. I thought it was, it was comical, and I enjoyed it. So good job,
yep.
Lawrence 67.
Despite the thought of making sure he can get it, there sure weren't no locomotion in little Tars. Now look here, you little turd. I mean Tars. We've been through this. Now first grab the vine jump and swing through the jungle. Oh, shit. I'm out of here. See you later, kid. this was different. Cheetah and Tarzan. Yes. Running through the jungle. Splat. Reminds me of George of the Jungle. Watch out for that
tree.
Yeah. All right. Yep. Where are we going now?
Okay. I think I'm going to read the next piece, which is An Alice Fantasia by Jack Blue. And, yes. An Alice Fantasia, kind of blue field or the wavy navy sphere. I simply oar my cargo under space's starry sea, wondering if I'm alone like a fallen meteor. If the wings of liberty escape no curse of gravity, who can idly sail the waters or the deep, unkind theater all alone eternally to the indigo of times? Can you hear me, Myriad, or see my shadow hovering on the moonlit canopy of your forest waving blue like another universe, mirroring the overture and poem?
Great read, Gene, and this one. I'm getting closer to my home. All right, Pam, what you got?
Well, great read there, Gene. As always, he does wonderful with putting in fantasy and mythology elements. I like the mention of the narrator, the water sprites. I like how he uses color, especially the blue, on the infinite blue field or the wavy navy sphere, I simply oar my coracle under space's starry see. And you get the like, I like the whole right gives you the feel of a sailor, you know, amongst the sea. And I have to say, though, that my absolute favorite lines are, if the wings of liberty escape no curse of gravity, who can idly sail the waters or the deep unkind? I like that he brings in the theater and the idea of we're all putting on a show. But I like how that there's, I think, a really, I can't quite pinpoint it, but there seems to me almost be a message there of, if we don't have that freedom, you know, then who will we become? If that freedom, you know, falls away, then what are we left with? So just an excellent write and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean? How about
you? You know, I thought it was a nicely penned piece. A great take on the prompt. And, you know, I was with Pam on that. If the wings of liberty escape no curse of gravity, who can idly sail the waters of or the deep, unkind theater all alone eternally to the indigo of times? I just thought it was a great job. So much enjoyed and very well done.
Thank you, Jean. You see, he's got a lot of color in here. Infinite blue field, wavy navy sphere, a sphere. Blah, 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 blah. Of your forest waving blue. I like the thought in that. But I simply awe my coracle under space's starry sea, wondering if I'm alone, like a fallen meteor. The coracle is a wickerwork round boat. It's lined with something waterproof. Not quite sure. Big paste tar, something along that line. But that's probably more than anything a singular person vehicle itself. But to sit under that that blue field on a wavy navy sphere and hit on that, wondering if he's alone like a fallen meteor, at that point in time, if there's nothing else that you can see past the horizon, yes, you'll be alone. And he hits on the escape no curse of gravity, the sort of maybe shooting towards the stars, but not actually making it. Who can idly sail the waters or the deep, unkind theater all alone eternally through the indigo of times? Again, a little more touch of blue. And I, too, like that thought with the narrative. There's supposed to be a 50 sea nymphs from born of Maris, and they're actually helpful. They protect and aid and get the sailors who went overboard safely to shore or back on the boat. So they're not like the sirens who take to eat. These actually open up the thought to saving if you find yourself in the drink, so to speak. All right, Jean, we're back on you.
Okay, well, this is the last of the night. So, Pam, I want to give it to you to read. This is our last piece for tonight.
You're kidding. Did I miss the count somewhere?
I don't know. Let me look. I think I'll double check, but I'm pretty sure we read them all. Okay, Pam, whenever you're ready.
All right. This is Locomotion by Rose Winter 515, and it goes like this. Judith Durham, Seeker's superstar singer, sang Morning Town Ride, nighttime train taking, sleeping, children safe to tomorrow, end poem.
Great read, Pam. Thank you very much. All right, Jane, what you got?
Well, I was trying to find another poem, and I did. So let me look at it real quick. Great little brevity. I don't know who Judith Durham is, but I thought it was a sweet little tribute piece to her. So nicely done. Nice job. And good work there, Rose Winter 515.
Ma'am, how about you?
Yes.
Yeah, I thought this was a nice brevity. I like that. And I had never heard of Judith Durham, but I thought this was such a lovely tribute, you know, that it made me want to go and listen to her music, which I haven't gotten a chance to yet, but I'm definitely going to check that out. I really like that when Rose Winter saw that the contest and saw the song Locomotion, it made her think of the song Morningtown Ride by the Seekers, which obviously Judith Durham was the lead singer of. So far, all I know about Judith Durham from looking at Wikipedia earlier is that she was born somewhere in Australia. And that's all so far. But yeah, I like, you know, I think that's one of the great things about poetry is it gives us an opportunity to learn about new people and new music. So wonderful brevity and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. I did see there's a list of songs. I did see Georgie Girl in there, so I faintly remember that from way back when. But that page, she offers up that page of Judith Durham, and it is in, wow, it's definitely a very strange language. I'm not quite sure what language it is, to tell you the truth. But it does mention the Seekers, from what I can actually glean, because of and Australia. But there isn't a whole lot of anything here that I do understand. Because of the language itself. But it does look like something else. And yes, she did say she wouldn't have written this if it hadn't been the fact that she came across Locomotion. So she asked for permission. I said, yes, please drop it in and we'll air it. Thank you, Rose. All right, what do we got? We got on the board, we still got a couple.
I found one.
A song, since we have some time.
Oh, a song. Okay. Okay. Well, do you want me to read the last poem first? Or do you want me to wait?
Well, let's wait. We'll finish out with that one. That way we're not
okay.
Going out on music.
Okay.
About
Mean
Miss Treacher.
There we go. Here we go.
Heartache is at my doorstep. your mom and dad, your pretty face.
Here called Paranoid of the Front Door by Jessna Sejan. Let's go ahead and start the read. Someone there watching you, watching you, watching you. He will take you and run. Oh, you type, watching you, watching you. So run, 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 now. Shut the door, don't let him do. Shut the door, don't let him do. He will get the best of you. Smash the door and hit at you. He will get the best of you. So run, run, run now. Chain the door, bolt it tight. Put the padlock right on sight. Set the lock and key right. Never let him inside. Someone there watching you, watching you, watching you. He will take you and run, bolt you tight. Do you shove fists at him 2 days back? Did he shriek? I will make you lack. Did his eyes shot blood, hurting his jack? So run, 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 now. Get the gate sealed, complete seal. Check the lock and just repeat, deal. Dare not let him have his meal. Never let him inside. Someone there, watching you, watching you, watching you. You and run, bolt you tight. Don't you think it's paranoid? Too bad. His face is just driving you mad. It's eating your time. Don't feel sad. Don't keep calling on the phone, the silly lad. So run, 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 now. Close all the doors all around the house. Don't get frightened of the kitchen mouse. Keep the roll handy. It's a long red noose. Never let him inside. Someone there. Watching you, watching you, watching you. Don't take you and run. Bolt you tight. Don't you know it's a paranoid? And home.
Great read, Jean. And Pam, why don't you lead us off?
Yeah, wonderful read there, Jean. You know, I really felt like there was an intensity to this write that gave it kind of a horror movie vibe, especially with the repetitive lines. The idea of you know, it felt like how sometimes when like you shout at a movie, you know, to tell someone to run, run, and yet it, at the same time there was a certain realness to it, and the idea of it feels like trying to the perspective of somebody watching someone trying to escape, and not being able to. And the violence in here really adds to the grittiness and the questions and like I said, the repetitiveness. So run, run, run now, get the gate sealed, completely sealed, check the lock and just repeat, you know. It's interesting to me how it's from the perspective of a person watching. It almost makes me think of the idea that they're having a dream and can't do anything but in their mind shout at themselves to run and lock the gate. So it's a great Doug Wright and very well done.
Thank you, Pam. And Jean, how about you?
Well, I kind of thought that this was a clever take on the prompt. I think that the uneasiness, that level of uneasiness was really well expressed in the piece. Pretty, you know, it's like, wow, you know, really, really? A little scary. I'm trying to find the one line that I saw. Do you show fists at him 2 days back? Did he shriek? I will make you lag. Did his eyes shoot blood hurting his jack? So run, run, run now. Apparently there was some kind of an altercation a few days before, which kind of set the thoughts in this poem in motion. And I thought that it was clever. It was nicely done. And the repeat lines really, you know, drove it home, you know, again and again. So nice work, Jeff, man. Thanks for sharing.
Thank you. I'm going to go with it's a wary note because she hits on the sort of chain the door bolted tight, but she also hits on the notion he will take you and run bolt you tight. So the idea of, so she hits on paranoid at the front door. It's an idea of being wary of your surroundings at all times, not just being locked on the, having doors locked while you're on the inside, watching how you go out and lock your door on the other side. Because if you turn your back for too long, then that thought is you being in the house then with him and him locking the, bolting the place up tight. So it's more of especially when you get down that bad, don't you think it's paranoid too bad? His face is just driving you mad. And don't keep calling on the phone, silly lad. So there's it's a stalker, a predator. Someone, all right, you might have known, but maybe not. If you don't, then it is a predator stalker instead of just a normal stalker, in which case, call somebody. All right. Well, now we're at the back end of things. All right, next week is All Along the Watchtower. Take the take a line, take two lines, take a stanza, or work on the whole thing and have fun with deriving your thoughts from that piece by itself. I'm not including the music, just the words. It's surreality in the lyrics. So have fun with that. And Tuesday, what we got Tuesday, Pam? Got a couple leftovers.
We have 4 leftovers from Richard Pryor, and then the main theme will be poetry inspired by Zelda Fitzgerald.
Oh, yeah, Zelda. Zelda. Is that from the game? Zelda.
It is. However, that's not the one we're going with.
All right, what's Twisted Tuesday?
Twisted Tuesday is, and I do need rights for that one if people are listening, that is the photography of Jimmy Nelson. So check out the contest, check out the topic board, and be inspired.
And who's doing Wednesday?
Naomi and I. The contest is closed, but you know, the theme is perfume.
Okay, dokie.
Sounds good. Okay. I don't have anything exciting. I have Friday. Nothing exciting in my world, I said. Just Friday. The girls got this all covered. This week's all covered. It's a great show, Rex. Great topic, great music. Yeah, enjoyed.
Oh, I had fun, yeah. Good evening. And, yeah, there was some laughs in here, too.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, gang.
Okay, kids.
Till next week, and we're going
to
do it again.
You got it. See you same time next week, same bat station. We're good.
Same bad channel.
You don't behave. Good night.
Oh. Well, should we say the same cheetah channel? Jump, little tars.
There you go. Oh, my gosh.